Saudi air raid in Yemen that killed over 45 civilians, and a look at how the U.S. continues to protect Israel's renegade nuclear weapons program, and more on how BP got off cheap for its massive and deadly Gulf Coast oil spill. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Leanne Krantz welcomes Walida Imarisha, co-editor and contributing author of Octavia's Brood, science fiction stories from social justice movements. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, host SW Concert speaks with veteran writer Kurt Busiek and up-and-coming artist Benjamin Dewey, who are two of the most prolific talents in Portland's comic scenes. But first, it's Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. Hey, thanks, KBOO members, for your support for community radio. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate today.
Should it be harder for landlords to evict their tenants for no reason at all?
Should safe and healthy homes come before the interests of private investment?
Is the rent too damn high?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, join us for the next Portland Renters Assembly.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of the Portland Renters Assembly, a gathering of people united by the burden of rent and committed to housing as a human right.
The next two assemblies are on Sunday, July 12th, from 12 to 2 p.m. at the North Portland Library, with speakers on how race intersects with gentrification.
And on Wednesday, July 15th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Colonel Sumner's Park, with speakers on community organizing and mobilizing.
Tell your story and join the conversation. For more information, go to kboo.fm and click on Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, July 9th, 2015, and you're listening to Air Cascadia on KBOO Portland. News, comment, and jiggery pokery. Your community radio, 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We've just been hearing a lot about the situation in Greece and, of course, the global pile-on of extraordinary anti-Greek PR. Essentially, it's a smokescreen to keep people from looking for the real root causes of the Greek crisis. Greek people are suffering like you wouldn't believe. I lived in Greece. I know what the place is like. I know what the people are like. It's agony for me to sit here in Portland as this debacle unfolds. It shouldn't be happening. It didn't need to happen. $20 billion at the outset would have solved the whole thing, and we wouldn't be where we are today. That's bad enough, but what's going on in Yemen is extraordinarily violent, terrifying. If you go to the Rolling Stone website and you look at the video, this is a video that we have from Matteo Akins, our guest today. The devastation is incredible. What's left, I know what a souk looks like. And to see the remains of what was an ancient souk in a village, nothing is left. But it is possible in the mind's eye to reconstruct from the rubble what it must have looked like. The many lives, all those people who had who sold in the souk, all of their customers, the people who came every day. When you go to the souk to buy something, you don't just go in and hand them the money or your card and grab your stuff in a plastic bag and hustle out. No, you sit down, you have tea. It's a social occasion, social interchange. We've forgotten what that is because we spend half our lives sitting in cafes, clicking away, staring at nothing but pixels. When people here die, they're not going to say, "Gee, I wish I'd looked at more pixels." In any case, we're going to be speaking in just a moment with Matteo Akins. He's just back from Yemen, and he has that piece in Rolling Stones. It's Watch a Dispatch from the Scene of Saudi Arabia's war crimes, and that these are war crimes. They are. As he's speaking in the video, there are Saudi fighter jets in the air overhead. You never know when it's going to happen. It comes out of the wild blue yonder. And these people, the only people left in one village apparently are shepherds. They're migratory. They move around. That said, as we wait to get wait to get Matteo on the line, we're also hoping to have Faria al-Muslimi reach us from Beirut. The line yesterday was terrible, but we are trying our best to make contact with Faria. Right now, though, we've got a few headlines from around the area. The Antonio Zambrano Montes murder was extraordinary. He was holding a large rock. He drew back his arm as if he was going to throw it. Police officers opened fire and killed him. Here's what one of the officers said in a recording that was released just yesterday. He said, "I had a clear shot and I decided to take it." He said, "I had a clear shot and I decided to take it." And he shot down a man clearly deranged, holding a rock. That's what we have come to. We're savages. We're barbarians. We're no longer... This is not a civilized society. This is barbarism. And we're wondering about Oregon's dismal scholastic results. Oregon set average to below average standards for how well its elementary and middle school students... This should read and do math. In neighboring Washington, when they asked students in schools to hit a higher bar in the reading and math test for 2013, that was the year examined in the study, Washington set grade level expectations far higher than Oregon did, particularly for that critical fourth grade reading and eighth grade math. This is a disgrace, people. This is an absolute disgrace. The National Center for Education Statistics report released yesterday looked at the difficulty level of all 50 states. Nearly all states, including Oregon, have stopped using old tests and standards. They don't like Common Core, mainly because it requires students to actually learn something. The fact is that who cares what it is? It's the process of learning. What school is really about is learning how to learn and learning social skills. Probably, I think it is likely that with the burgeoning tide of charter schools where students are, instead of being put into a pool of others who may not be like them, may come from very different cultural, so socioeconomic, many different backgrounds, where they all have to get along. That's what school is about. It's learning how to get along with people who are different from oneself, not people who are the same, not people like all vegetarians or all Christians or all the parents think the child's autistic or something. That's not what schools should be about. Schools should be about children learning to get along with people very unlike themselves and also actually having to work. We've forgotten that school involves work. Some things don't happen instantly. Some things require time. Some things require effort. Some things require quiet time, not entertainment. We've come to a point where we're supposed to make things relevant for children. No, that's not the point of a school. You learn things that children are not familiar with, that are not relevant to their experience, that are outside the familiar, outside the comfort zone. A school should definitely take kids outside of their comfort zone. That's what it's all about, because guess what? The real world, if school doesn't take you outside your comfort zone, the real world will most definitely cover that end of the learning experience, and in a far harsher way than school's incremental climb through the process of education and learning, actually learning how to learn. That said, we'll have to wait and see. Oregon students are doing a terrible job. Parents want the schools to make it simpler and simpler and simpler so that little Susie and little Johnny will get A's. If little Susie and little Johnny don't get A's, well, and what the parents do, they sue the schools. They blame the teachers. Teachers work harder than anybody else in society, and they get, it's a thankless job, it's low paid, and on top of that, there's parents who will not force their kids to work, will not lean on the kids, will not make them study, then come down on the teachers instead. So Oregon's scores are terrible. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Be proactive. And a drilling boom, this is from one of our own local professors. We're going to have him on the show probably tomorrow. There's a drilling boom, that, and it could be big problems, big troubles for local inhabitants where the drilling and fracking are taking place. It's at Portland State University, Rudolph Maxwell. He's an expert in the geological consequences and hazards associated with drilling. He and his colleagues recently published a paper in Nature Geoscience showing that a mud volcano eruption in Indonesia that killed several people, buried buildings, and displaced some 60,000 inhabitants was very likely triggered by gas exploration drilling rather than by an earthquake, as had been reported previously. Look at what's happening in the state of Oklahoma, a state where they had maybe two or three earthquakes, minor earthquakes a year. Now they're a daily occurrence, sometimes clusters of earthquakes all occurring on one day, and it goes on and on. And that's not even the worst case scenario. There are other parts of the country where fracking is far more prevalent, and those are at enormous risk. The only reason they haven't shown signs of a response to the fracking is because they are different geologically. Oklahoma just happens to be one of the places where it is more likely to happen. And close to home, on the Washington side, frustration over how long it's taking to examine a proposal to build the nation's largest rail-to-marine oil transfer terminal in Vancouver hit a new level yesterday. The Port of Vancouver was urging Washington Governor Jay Inslee to order state, get this, to order state regulators to produce a publicly available timetable and stick to it. Indeed, you'd think, I mean, how we've come a ways down the road to this thing, and still the public hasn't been able to have a look at this. Public is against it. And of course, out-of-state investors are very curious and interested in getting their hooks in. Jay Inslee is here critical to this whole decision-making process. The port, which approved a lease in 2013 for the oil handling facility, and you know, this should have been stopped then. We let things go this far. Don't forget, the Columbia River does not divide Washington from Oregon or Oregon from Washington. It unites us. Trouble in Washington is trouble in Oregon, and all of it is huge trouble for a river which is already at great risk, has already been abused way past the carrying capacity of any habitat. So back to 2013, when it could have been stopped. They announced this action, and news release included a Tuesday letter from the port CEO Todd Coleman to Inslee. The letter takes umbrage with continued delays. They want to ram this stuff through by the State Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council. That council is conducting an environmental impact analysis of the oil terminal. The terminal, of course, if you haven't heard some of the numbers, wait for it. It's pretty staggering. 360,000 barrels of crude per day. You heard that right. 360,000 barrels of crude a day. And a well-known and respected friend, that's just what we know so far. That figure is very likely to possibly even double. But the public us, we used to be citizens. Now we're just consumers. We consume oil. So therefore, we make our decisions and our value judgments based on what we consume. We overconsume everything. We consume, we create waste. And other than that, we're pretty much useless. We're nothing but a poison on the earth. But we do have an opportunity. There is a spark of light from time to time, and there's one of them right now. It's in Vancouver. It can be stopped. This could be stopped, and we will stop it. Moving right along, a well-known and respected forensic accountant. This woman, it's not a surprise. Well, she opposed the Columbia River crossing boondoggle, and now she's been forced to resign from the Clark County Audit Oversight Committee. No surprise there. Read more about Antonio Zambrano Montes, the man holding the rock. That's it for Air Cascadia for today. Sorry about that. We tried our best. Many thanks to Rock Bergeron for trying his best to get our guest on the line. Not always possible. Hard to reach Beirut. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, July 9th, 2015. You're listening to KBO Portland. And, of course, again, thanks, Rock, for your efforts on the board. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints will have a special report on the Saudi air raid on Monday that killed over 45 civilians, including women and children. Also, the U.S. continues to protect Israel's renegade nuclear weapons program, from Obama and the former CIA director all the way down the chain of command.